Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
When we speak of Christ as the God of glory, we must also speak of the glory of God. This is the essence of that which separates him from all of his creation. He may see fit to impart a certain glory unto his creation, but he will not share the essential glory of his person with any. In fact, when Moses asked to see his glory, he told him, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." It was necessary that Moses be hidden in a cleft of the rock and covered with his hand as he passed by, just so that Moses might see a glimpse of his back parts. The idol gods of men can be seen and handled, yet have no power. But the God of glory cannot be seen, and yet has all power in heaven and earth. Men desire a God whom they can control through their prayers, obedience, morality, etc. Yet the Scripture plainly tells us that the God of glory changes not, and is not influenced or controlled in any fashion. He sovereignly controls all events and dispenses his favor to men according to his own will. We are therefore struck with amazement when we behold the eternal Son emptying himself of his glory to walk among men, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It is impossible for him who is the eternal God to be anything less than God. In order to fulfill his purpose to redeem those whom the Father gave him from before the foundation of the world, the Son clothed himself in flesh and blood, essentially hiding his glory as the eternal God from the view of men. Otherwise, those for whom he came would have been slain by the glory of his presence. John says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Christ Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, as a real man who dwelt among us. John speaks of seeing him full of grace and truth as that perfect man who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He saw him as that man who, being God, laid down his life for the purpose of redeeming his people from the curse of the law and the power of sin. It is in Christ alone that we can now behold the God of glory. Even as Paul says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yet while we have the knowledge of his glory, we have not yet beheld his glory in all of its unbridled splendor." Paul says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." Sinful mortals cannot behold that glory. Hence we see John falling at his feet as a dead man when his presence was revealed to him in Revelation 1:17. A similar experience was had by Daniel and Isaiah. Yet we read in the same book of Revelation that the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. It is clear that the heavenly city, which is as a bride adorned for her husband, enjoys the light and glory of his presence after the completion of the covenant of redemption. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Through the ages to come, we shall have the unending privilege of dwelling in the glory of his presence as we praise the Lamb that was slain. Gone is the veil of flesh that hampered our vision. Gone is the mortality and corruption that separated between us. We shall praise and worship the Son of God, who is one with the eternal Father and Spirit. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. He will then be seen as the God of glory, because he has finished the work which he came to do. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Though he laid aside his glory for a season, yet now his prayer is answered. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He is able to give glory to his own and cause them to be united. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. He will yet manifest his glory in them in the ages to come. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Have you beheld the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.